Hello and welcome back to the Hard Hitting Wrestling Show, the HHW Show podcast presented by Clovercrest Media. Visit clovercrestmedia.com to know more about several podcasts that's your favorites. And as we get set for our post-reaction, we have Frank and Hector, the Elimination Chamber. Man, once again, WWE attempted to do an epic ending. Look, we're gonna talk about how it finished later on, but let's go recap in order what had happened in the Elimination Chamber, and it all started right here with the SmackDown Elimination Chamber. Now, guys, if I'm not mistaken, I had Daniel Bryan winning, right? No, I'm just kidding. I had Kevin Owens. a lot of fan favorites had Cesaro, but a lot of backlash on social media that Cesaro did not win this. Oh, Hector, what do you expect? What do you think about this? And should Daniel Bryan been the one to win this match?
Yeah, I think if it wasn't Cesaro, it would should have been Daniel Bryan, and I think they got that right, in my opinion. I was just kind of on the edge with Jey Uso, you know, and he did get to the end. I did make a mention of that he could be, you know, something of the wild card and all this, and he sure was. I think Cesaro, you know, they have other plans with him, which I totally understand that. Either way, we knew the winner was going to be decimated by the tribal chief, which we saw that happen. So,
absolutely, and I'm glad that you mentioned decimated, because you know you're going to get exhausted with everything that's thrown at you in the Elimination Chamber, and with Daniel Bryan being the guy that one had an injured leg, but I thought that he received a lot of punishment as long as Sami Zayn, and that's what I thought. I was like, well, you know what, this has got to be Cesaro's victory, the one that we're looking for. It didn't turn out to be that way. So in order, we had King Corbin, which surprised me to me that he was the most dominant at the beginning to be eliminated first. Then Sami Zayn, and look, Sami Zayn was getting punished not only by King Corbin, but even Cesaro getting banged up. I mean, that was my favorite, my comical. I knew Sami Zayn was going to bring something comical to the table, you know. Him blocking the door from King Corbin and not realizing that the back door was open. So for Cesaro to do what he had to do, bang him in the left, bang him in the right, going back and forth. I mean, yeah, so he was second. Then surprisingly, Kevin Owens would not even imagine. I thought maybe he'd be like the last two men standing. And the fact that he got eliminated, then Cesaro, and then okay, look, Jey Uso, who outsmarted Kevin Owens, you know, for him to just get eliminated by Daniel Bryan, to me, something logical did not make sense out of that because of the beating that Daniel Bryan got. And it just seems like another, like, Incredible Hulk or, you know, the Hulk Hogan era type deal when he's just coming back and, you know, I mean, look, the Yes Movement was years ago. I think we need a ceasefire on this Yes Movement. You know, but it is what it is. Roman Reigns ended up meeting him, and it surprised a lot of people because people thought since it was a first match that maybe the main event would have been Roman Reigns. You know, so here we are, and look, this is the picture of Daniel Bryan at the end of the Elimination Chamber. So, Frank, I'm asking you now. We know the answer, right? Edge is coming, and he speared Roman Reigns. So it's just as you predicted. So what you got on this?
I think Edge is going to have the edge on Roman Reigns. Edge is going to beat him when it comes down to WrestleMania. I think Edge is gunning for that title.
Of course, you know, he's gunning for a title.
He's gunning for the title.
So come on, really? Is that what you're going to tell me right here on my hard-hitting wrestling stuff? That's all you got?
Yeah, man, look, listen. Edge made a statement, you know, on Roman Reigns to go for that title.
Well, that statement was going since SmackDown, not because of tonight.
No, yeah, but he what's the word I'm looking for? He etched it in stone, let's say.
Edge,
he put
Stone.
He put it in there saying,
"Nah,
hey,
you know what?
Hey,
you know
what? Bye.
You're fired. You're fired. You're fired." Let me get somebody else here. Steve, welcome back, man. Frank is disappointing me, man.
I still help him out. There's still time for me to disappoint you. I'm still up. In the morning here, UK time. I'm still here with you guys. But no, it's great to see Edge and Roman Reigns is set for WrestleMania 37. It's the right main event. It's the comeback story for Edge. Roman Reigns is doing everything perfectly. This for me, it ticks all the boxes. This is your WrestleMania main event.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And I've been saying it all along that this had to happen. You know, what better than having the Battle of Spears? I mean, I think me and Hector had said that months ago when Edge was coming back, that as soon as he finishes with Randy Orton, that this is the match that has to be packaged, because it didn't make sense that Edge and Drew McIntyre didn't, because of the respect that they had one another. But then here's Roman Reigns, the top heel, who really doesn't respect anybody anymore, because he claims he's the head of the table to everyone. And for this to happen, yes, and Edge does have the edge on Roman Reigns, Frank, absolutely. But but there it is, the main event of WrestleMania 37, what happened? Edge versus Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship. Something that, hey, the belt used to be the heavyweight championship. So even though the name itself, it'll be Edge first time, should he be victorious and defeat Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. And again, another match that was surprising that started at the kickoff show was John Morrison winning his triple threat match in order to get in to the triple threat match for the United States Championship. So with that in mind, we all know that Riddle became the new United States champion. Now, Hector, nobody saw this coming, you know, and should Keith Lee be in there, would it have been the same Riddle winning the title?
I don't think so. I don't think it would have been. I think they would have kept that title on Bobby Lashley, but I think, you know, they might have thrown a curveball at the end, you know, since Keith Lee wasn't in it. I think this just sets up Riddle to maybe expand, you know, defending that title somewhere else, because I think that now that Bobby Lashley has his eyesight somewhere else.
Okay. So, Frank, go ahead, man. Tell me, who you think is Riddle's next opponent? We already know he will have that moment with Lashley again, maybe a revenge match. But should Riddle be successful to retain that title, who you think is the next opponent for him?
Keith Lee. I think Keith Lee was originally going to win this match.
Right.
You know, I mean, I had picked Bobby Lashley, but, you know, seeing the way that they're going now, I think Keith Lee is going to be the next in line for it, given the fact that Bobby Lashley just went after McIntyre completely.
Absolutely. Steve, any thoughts?
I agree with Frank there. I think that the best option would be for Keith Lee. But of course, you see with the kickoff, there's a lot of heels that will be going for that championship. Mustafa Ali, Elias, John Morrison could go for it again. There's a number of challenges there. So we've got a division at least. And Lashley had outgrown that championship. It's time for him to start going for, you know, the main event scene now.
Absolutely. And I'm glad that you agree with Frank, because very rarely we ever agree with Frank. It must have been since he started his new podcast, Speaking of Real, he find his way back to reality. So, hey, man, good job, Frank. Good job.
But I've always got your back.
Thank you.
I'm surprised about, you know, they did this for the United States title. I'm surprised they didn't do anything for the Raw Women's Championship. As you can see here, Stephanie Hypes, another follower of the Hard Hitting Wrestling Show, and she stated, me looking for the Raw writers to figure out how they couldn't find not one person to go against Asuka, hashtag WWE Chamber. So I agree. I definitely agree with her, man. Like, I'm surprised that she hasn't defended that title in a long, long time. You know, and we know the last time she wrestled, I think if I'm not mistaken, in a singles match against Alexa Bliss. And you know how that turned out. So I'm just surprised that hasn't been brought up yet. But we'll see what could happen on on Monday Night Raw. But speaking on that, we have the tag team championship, Nia Jax versus Shayna Baszler. Jax and Baszler versus Banks and Belair. That match did not live up to hype. I mean, Steve, you made a lot of comments on your show about this. What did you see that was so off in this match?
Really was the main thing. I just really didn't connect all the dots here. You've got your SmackDown Women's Champion. You've got your Royal Rumble winner in Bianca Belair. You're looking to make a WrestleMania main event out of these two, but yet they're kind of baffled with the booking with Reginald. You would have liked seeing a heel turn or miscommunication between the two to lead to the champions retaining. I think everybody's happy with the retain. It's just the way it's been done. It's just the way to make the two most credited people lose their momentum heading into WrestleMania, and that's not what you want at this stage of the game.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you there. I was just left like, what's going on? And then I think that it was a botched move at the end to where it was a distraction with the wine bottle, you know, and I think it looked like Jax actually missed Sasha Banks. I didn't see it any perfect execution there. And then like, it looked like they tried to rush it to cut it off because maybe we would have saw Reginald getting smacked by both women. I don't know. But whatever happened, I think we're going to have to wait till SmackDown to see any repercussions or whatever. But I've still got that gut feeling that somewhere down the line, Carmella is in the middle of everything to get her back into the title picture. But, the main event is right here, the WWE Championship. Drew McIntyre defended Jeff Hardy, Randy Orton, Sheamus, AJ Styles, Kofi Kingston. The match lived the hype. I don't know what more to say, but as we all know, Drew McIntyre did retain the title for a little bit. But before we move on to this, okay, what was your assessment there, Hector, on this match?
Like you said, I think it did live up to the hype. You know, it was a good matchup, you know, and there was no outside interference, you know, like I was thinking with Randy Orton was going to mysteriously disappear. Everything was clean. You know, we saw high flying from Kofi Kingston. I just didn't expect AJ to be the last one standing with Drew McIntyre. That was kind of a shocker there. But, you know, especially with almost, you know, over there ripping out the plexiglass. Hello. What's going on here? But, no, I think it was good overall. For Raw, and Drew McIntyre did a great job.
I didn't read the rules about that. I didn't read the rules saying that you can't go in early. Apparently there was one. Frank, what's your assessment on this?
AJ and McIntyre last. I didn't really agree with that one. I thought maybe we were going to see Sheamus and McIntyre. I mean, the fact that Lashley came out at the end, softening them up. You know,
well, ain't getting there yet. We didn't get there yet. Just the match itself. All right.
Oh, the match itself.
Come on.
The match is all right.
You're about to get fired, man.
It's all right. I'll get rehired eventually.
All right, fair enough. Well, Steve, what's your assessment on this?
Well, the first assessment, I think, is that Kofi pointed out apparently that Randy Orton's doing a lot of squats. That was the first thing that was definitely most notable about the match, but definitely information I probably could have. Quite fun with the interaction with the pod conversations going on before the match. But going into it, I thought Kofi was one of the MVPs. I thought he had a fantastic performance when he came in, hitting some great offensive moves off of the top of the pods, eliminating Randy Orton. And I really liked the way it finished. I'm, again, like Hector, surprised that AJ was actually there in the final two. But I liked the way they executed the elimination of Sheamus because it protected the feud of Drew McIntyre and Sheamus for another day. And then found a way to retain over AJ Styles. So for me, this was very well booked, especially at the end here.
Right. And you know what? I went for Drew McIntyre, but I was telling the guys that I was like, man, I really want Drew to lose. Like, I was feeling AJ Styles. He doesn't need almost, but then again, you know, it's like you never know what you're going to get out of it. But the way the match, how you say it? Went with the flow. Like, I would have picked Drew McIntyre to be eliminated first before Sheamus because Sheamus already did the bro kick on him. So he was already knocked out. That should have been a 1-2-3. But instead, you know, AJ went after Sheamus and eliminated him. So, and then the final move. Drew is a beast, man. And he clocked him good with that Claymore. And I'm like, damn it. Why? But it is what it is. Drew wins. But here comes the next surprise. And wasn't really a surprise because of the fact before the event, we saw MVP talk to The Miz. So The Miz comes out and becomes the new WWE champion. Now, with that, and Hector said it before, he took the quote from the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, everything has a price. Okay? So, what price was it for The Miz to become the WWE champion?
Bobby Lashley gets the title shot. I mean, you're just not going to have a man like that do your dirty work and not let him get something in return. You know, I mean, and I think that right there is going to backfire on The Miz. Not only does he's going to have to worry about Drew McIntyre down the road, but Bobby Lashley is the one that you're going to really have to worry about, and the Hurt Business. I'm sticking with that.
You're sticking with the Hurt Business going after the WWE Championship.
Yeah, you just don't get easy work and not have to pay for it later. I mean, this is bad for The Miz.
What'd you think, Steve?
I'm actually in 100% agreement. I think The Miz could be a 24-hour champion, whether it's Lashley or even Drew McIntyre. I don't see it being a long reign. And The Miz, yeah, because if he ends up in the ring with Lashley, that's not going to end well. You've seen how we dominated Morrison earlier in the evening. It's not going to end well for The Miz. But hey, he can celebrate tonight. He can feel awesome for one evening at least.
One evening. I'm sorry, man. I just don't know or to have the Herpers get involved in this way. I mean, we haven't even seen Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin, but could this be that because The Miz has beef with Bad Bunny and Damian Priest that now they'll formulate a 2-on-2 so the Hurt Business goes and attacks Bad Bunny and Damian Priest? I can see that happening for Raw. And then if so, you know The Miz don't play no rules straight, man. He'll find a way to delay anything. So if there is a drug deal, I don't see it happening anytime soon. But we have the next pay-per-view with his Fastlane. Could that happen then? So that could be the defining moment. But Frank, what's your take on this?
The Miz is not.
Will The Miz lose tomorrow or the next day, or would he last for the next pay-per-view?
I don't think he's going to lose tomorrow or the following week. I think he actually might last until the next pay-per-view. It's just going to be a matter of him running around, you know, and kind of, no, not today. I'm off today. You know, one of those type deals. But he's going to have a price to pay for sure.
Look, there's just so many scenarios that could happen. If you look at Bobby Lashley's side of the house, they look, yes, he did the dirty work, did it for The Miz. Whatever the deal was, we're definitely going to find out tomorrow, the next Monday Night Raw episode. But Lashley's also pissed off that he lost the United States Championship. And for that to happen, look, Riddle cannot defeat Lashley 1-on-1. We know this already. So what's going to happen on Monday Night Raw? Will they have a rematch? Will he get that title back? There's just so many scenarios. Remember, the whole purpose for them is trying to get all the gold. You know, it's a business. You know, he keeps saying it. So I don't know. I don't think that's going to happen, that they'll have all the gold. But then here's another one. We also learned on the show on the kickoff, the Street Profits, they're trying to get their way back to the tag team championship. But they got a problem with the general manager. So now what we have, should we see the Street Profits move to Raw if they're not going to be satisfied on SmackDown? Just a theory. And if that's so, would Bianca Belair choose Asuka and then go for that title and just leave Sasha Banks alone? Could that be a possibility? Or we'll definitely have the Street Profits versus the SmackDown Tag Team Champions of Ziggler and Rude at WrestleMania. And on top of that, Bianca Belair finally decides should go after Sasha Banks. What's your take, Steve?
That's an interesting take. Something I hadn't thought of, to be honest. I do expect them to stay on SmackDown, if I'm honest, because you've got a building storyline there. It seems natural with the face tag team and the heel GM, if you want. But the Street Profits have kind of gone around a heel way about it. They've not really been babyface squeaky clean about it. But I guess they want their opportunity. They deserve it. They have all the rights. They were champions for, what, 312 days? So I expect to be back in the picture, but I think it could go all the way to WrestleMania.
All right. And final words, Hector.
We want the smoke. You know, I think, you know, with that right there, I could see a double twitch here, but by WrestleMania, I could see the Street Profits turning, and then we could see Rude and Ziggler turning the other way.
I don't know.
You never know.
I don't know. I mean, what's wrong with having two heels? I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
It's not, but I don't think it's good.
Was it tweeners, right? Tweeners?
Yeah.
Frank?
Yeah. Dude, who knows? I mean, that they're going to move over to Raw, no.
No?
I think, no.
Not a possibility.
I don't think so.
No, people, they get disgruntled. They don't want to be around, so just go somewhere else. But, hey, we'll see what happens, man. There's plenty of wrestling to go before we get to WrestleMania. And like I said, it was just a fruitful thought. So we'll see what happens, man. I'm kind of liking this. It was a good – look, if you want to compare the finish, because a lot of people are still disappointed because it was predictable, but people are wanting to see something like what happened at NXT TakeOver, NXT Vengeance, which you never saw Adam Cole coming. You know what I mean? So people want more of that type of wrestling back in the WWE. And that was the same way that happened during the Attitude Era. And I think slowly but surely it'll come back. But we're missing a lot of parts, you know, a lot of superstars to be in this picture. And another one was Bo Dallas, how he is still an employee at WWE. But we haven't seen him greater than a year. So, and he was trending for the last 24 hours. So, look, this is the opportunity. The window is open right now for every superstar. You'll never know which angle that things will happen. It's a two-day event, WrestleMania, April 11th, 10th and 11th. I can't wait. Also, being that it will be on Peacock, so for everyone here in the States on Peacock, make sure you get that, because if you think the WWE Network is going to be there, absolutely not. So they've already been bought out, and they said that Fastlane will be on Peacock this time around. It will not be on the WWE Network. So you don't want to miss out. Steve, thank you for being in our show. Hector, Frank, thank you once again. Hey, follow. I got to share my screen real quick. Follow Steve on Twitter. Again, you can catch him out right here. There you go. There's the SCW, the wrestling channel. Great contact. And also check it out at hhwshow.com. I share the wealth with him. As well as Frank Cuesta. He has his own podcast, Speaking It Real. You know, that podcast is launching to success. So congrats, Frank, for doing you. And then, of course, myself and Hector on with the HHW Show. Follow us. Follow us on Twitch as well. We're trying to get more content on Twitch. So by all means, we're trying to be on every platform. So, but anyhow, guys, thank you so much for being with us. And then once again, every Tuesday, 8 o'clock Eastern time, is the HHW Show podcast. We got more content coming soon. But before we let you go, here is one more commercial. Brand new podcast coming soon, starting next Sunday.
Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champions.
Can you believe it?
It hasn't happened.
Swing and a miss, Spike Lee, it's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Tune in to the newest show presented by Clovercrest Media. It's Odie's Backstop Podcast. Catch it twice a week, every Red Sox series finale on your favorite podcast platform.